Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Courageous Leaders podcast. The purpose of our podcast is to inspire leaders to access their courage and be the leader they want to be. And to be able to do this with support and knowing they are very unlikely to be alone in what they are experiencing. And the main thing is to hope you leave here feeling inspired, because that is why we set up the podcast in the first place. To realise you're not on your own, to normalise and humanise leadership, and to make it so it's not lonely at the top. That you realise that the thoughts or worries or doubts that you may have, others have them too. Hello and welcome to the Courageous Leaders podcast, the podcast to help leaders access courage to be the leader they want to be. In today's show, what we're going to cover is excessive resilience. This is something very close to my heart, as I've had personal experience with this. And the experience I'm really going to share with you is one that it nearly broke me. I was an incredibly strong person, and this experience nearly broke me. And I'm going to share this today because if anyone listening has got a similar experience or knows someone that's going through this, maybe to do something from this episode or be able to share this with them. But I'm going to share some reflective questions to help you go, well, what choice do I have? What can I do about this? But what I want to start with first is actually look at what is resilience, because resilience is a good trait. So what is it? So it's the capacity to manage the everyday stress of work and remain healthy, adapt and learn from setbacks, and prepare for future challenges proactively and resourcefully. It's not, which I think what a lot of people get wrong, it's not just about bouncing back, and it's not about learning to just cope better in your job. What I'm really passionate about with this is working with businesses and leaders to really think resilience is about helping strengthen future performance by helping their team grow, and doing that by adapting how the company works, looking at your systems and your processes and your organization to support performance versus this attitude that I can see a lot of, well, just get on with it. You just got to find a way to do it. So-and-so can do it. So why can't you? It's being adapted as a leader and an organization to support performance, to help people build their resilience, and recognizing that everyone's resilience levels are different depending on what they've gone through in their life. Now, I've actually been trained in resilience training, and there's 7 parts to it. And I recommend you sort of write these down as I go through them and just score which ones are high for you and which ones maybe need a bit of work. So if you just write it down and put kind of 1 to 5, 1 being low, 5 being high, and just give them a score, and then you maybe know where you need to build to get your resilience into a healthy level. So the first one is living authentically. So what we mean by that is having a high level of self-awareness, knowing who you are, knowing your personal values, being able to deploy your strengths, and having a really good level of emotional awareness and regulation. I also talk a lot about this in terms of having really good self-leadership. The second one is finding your calling. Your work offers purpose. You have a sense of belonging. You're not just trying to fit in, so you're adapting yourself. That's not a healthy resilience at all. You actually really feel like you belong and you can be your true self. And it aligns with your core values. The third one is you can maintain perspective. You can have a solution focus, but what you can do is you can reframe setbacks and minimize the impact of negativity around you. So you can really kind of master your mindset. Number 4 is mastering stress. So you have really good work and life routines that help you to manage your everyday stresses. Number 5 is interacting cooperatively. So you can seek feedback from others. This is something I find a lot of people struggle with because they don't want to sometimes hear what the feedback is. But this is a huge part of building healthy resilience, is to be able to then develop your strengths. So you seek feedback, you seek advice, and you ask for help. But what's really important, you don't just take this, you give this to other people as well. Number 6 is staying healthy. You have a good level of physical fitness, a healthy diet, and you get enough sleep. And then number 7 is you build networks. You develop and maintain personal and professional support networks to kind of really make sure you've got strong relationships and people around you. So these are kind of the 7 parts to building really healthy resilience. Because resilience is not something we're born with. It's not a trait. It's something we can develop. And doesn't matter what age you are, you can keep growing it. For me, these are my personal views that I'm sharing on this podcast. There's a real dark side to resilience. And it can become excessive and go drastically wrong. So for me, resilience was a bit of a badge of honor. you know, I'm a resilient person, I'm a strong person, nothing can break me. And I attached this really strongly to my identity and who I was. So the idea of looking weak or not being able to cope was something that was just not me. I was that strong one. Where did this come from? So much I'm realizing this year is about being able to reflect. And when you can reflect, my word, you learn so much about yourself. You can start seeing the patterns why you do what you do today. And the main thing that happened to me is I had quite a big trauma. When I was 18 years old, I'd been at college and my mum picked me up to the station because it was really icy. So I came back into our front room at home and she just happened to say to me, "Your dad's not feeling too well. We're sitting in the lounge." So I thought, okay, well, I'll go and check on him. So then when I went in and he just looked at me and he just died instantly. It was a blood clot to his heart and it was instant. So I did everything I could with resuscitation to see what I could do to help him. I did everything I was trained, but I obviously didn't really know what was going on. And that was a very traumatic time in my life, followed by 6 years of trauma, but that was really the catalyst. And then what happened when we were at his funeral, it was a lot of people coming up to me because I was the eldest child saying, "We know, Joe, you're the strong one now. You need to be strong for your mom. You need to be strong for your brother." And I took this so literally that this was now my role. And I took on the role of being the hero, the one that would solve everything, look after everybody. And that was a big thing to take on for an 18-year-old, especially while you're grieving as well. If anyone has been through a trauma, and I think it's very normal for people to go through things, just check in with yourself, though. What has this caused you? What role did you take on from this trauma? And is it serving and helping you? Because I just then developed this attitude of like, I can cope with anything. Now, the downside of this, one of them was that I noticed very quickly, is I then undermined other people's resilience levels. In leadership, this is very easy to do, is when you've been through a lot and you've found ways to build your resilience and keep moving forward. When other people then come to you with a problem and you see it as less to what you've been through, it can be very easy to see them as weak or just not as strong as you. And God's sake, why can't they do it? And I developed this with my friends. Like, they were coming to me with, "Oh, my boyfriend's this and I've been dumped." And I would just look at them with very little empathy, because my tolerance was very low, because I was like, well, you haven't been through what I've been through. You should be able to cope with this. And I can see this play out in organizations with different scenarios of expecting people to be able to cope when they haven't had the lived experience to know what that is and what they haven't built up the tools or what to do. So as a leader, as I'm sharing this with you, just obviously you can be thinking of this from your personal life, but thinking of how maybe some of your resilience is tipping over, actually not helping the people that work with you if you've got an expectation of a standard of resilience that you can meet. Mine then developed more into terms of becoming a bit unhealthy when it really stacked up, because I didn't get a degree. I'm not sure whether I'd have gone to university or not, but with losing my dad at 18, it was just not on my radar to go. I wasn't going to leave home. So that made me feel like I was lesser to other people as well, and I wasn't smart enough. So then I went into overdrive. I worked harder than anyone else to prove myself and show that I was the strongest and I can do anything you ask me to do. So I was working the most ridiculous hours. And then many events later, I became this highly resilient person. And as I said, I wore it with a badge of honor. But what people didn't see is the cost that was coming with this badge, because I was silently experiencing anxiety and it was getting worse and worse over the years. But I didn't want to show this to anyone because I was worried then people would go, "Oh, she can't cope." And I never wanted that to be true. I wanted to be the person that had it all together, strong Joe. Especially, and I don't know if anyone resonates with this, I'm quite slight, I'm quite small. And back then you'd hear a lot of people, "Oh, you're blonde," and I was petite and very feminine. And I was just like, I didn't want to be put into, "Oh, she's just this cute feminine woman person." I wanted to be a strong, independent woman. And I think I massively overcompensated for maybe how I thought I looked in terms of then how I wanted to be perceived by others. All of this thinking I'm doing and all these beliefs and this identity I'm having around myself is helping me in one way. It is driving me to have a very successful career, getting the promotions. But the cost of my health and then how I thought about myself and the energy it was taking out of me to keep showing up was exhausting. And even though I do believe I was a good leader, I could have been a lot better, a hell of a lot better, because I was too self-focused on me looking strong versus really understanding maybe what the team needed for them to be strong within themselves. Well, this is a very vulnerable episode. I hope you're still with me. But I do this because for me, courageous leadership is about being vulnerable, but using the story to help you think about your behavior and what you're doing and the choices you're making in your life. And the best way for me to do that is to share it through a story. So I hope you're all good with this. Now, where it became really bad, not good at all, is I took a job in Australia. And it was a very exciting time for me. It was the most senior role I'd taken on. It was a big milestone moment. Now, unfortunately, what happened, I've shared some of this before, I walked into a very toxic environment, an environment that I'd not experienced before and didn't have the tools or the equipment to prepare myself for it. And there's a real attitude in this company of you're lucky to work here. People are queuing up for your job. And the company was very successful. So treating people badly was just accepted. There might have even been a belief that actually the way we treat our people is the reason why we're successful. Why they then work so hard is because they've got all this success and they've got this on their CV that they worked here. So it doesn't matter how we treat them. And I would walk around this agency and regularly see people crying in corners. And it was just alien to me. Also experienced passive aggression. I was like, didn't even know what it was until I got there. And then humiliation as well, public humiliations of people in meetings, which I experienced firsthand, and no one coming to support you from fear of them being the next target. So this was a real shock to my system. And I was like, no, but I'm a resilient person. I can do this. I'll find a way. And I also think I fell into the false hope syndrome that I can build these relationships. So I booked lunches with these key people that were very much not wanting me to work out. I booked lunch with them. I organized a housewarming party that none of them showed up for. That wasn't a great evening. I had this false hope that I could turn it around. And each time this false hope and all the things I kept trying to do, it was chipping away at me as a person. My anxiety turned into panic attacks. I was losing all of my confidence. I was not sleeping. And the biggest thing that was happening was the shame. The shame was, what do I tell people that I found something now that I can't cope with? I found something now that has broken what I thought was my resilience to kind of keep going. Strong Joe, you find a way. And actually, this company had broken me and I couldn't find a way. And I had to really think about what I was going to do. And it was really tough. I even remember like speaking to my family. I think I hid really what was happening and to my friends, trying to make out that I was figuring it out. In the end, it got too serious. I was becoming quite poorly and my husband was incredibly worried about me and my emotional health was a wreck. So in the end, we called it. I went in, spoke to the CEO. He obviously could see what was going on. And between the two of us, I have to say he handled it incredibly well. We agreed it wasn't working and I left. Now, I left it too long to leave. I was there 8 months. It took me way too long. I should have taken the action in hindsight after 4 and just have let go of all the worry of what I thought people would say and the shame of I've taken all my whole life over there and it didn't work out. And how do I tell people that? I wish I could have been the person who was actually, for me, was resilient enough to go, this doesn't work. Because if you go back to the 7 steps that I shared with you, I wasn't doing any of them, none of them. And that's what resilience is. I'd gone into excessive, extreme, and I know some people call it toxic resilience. There's a debate whether that's the right term to use or not, but that's how it felt. And it took me over a year to get myself back. That's how much it broke me, to really actually just let go of what happened and to stop feeling like a failure. Now, let's say this is a very big personal share, and this is why I'm doing these solo episodes, to just, again, normalize what people go through and knowing that you can move through it. Because I also know I'm coaching a lot of people at the moment and hearing about companies at the moment where this is still happening and it needs to stop. We can't keep testing people like this, and organizations have a responsibility and leaders have a responsibility to create safe environments for people to work in. And it also worries me when I keep hearing about the generations now have no resilience. But we need to have some empathy towards that and go, well, how do we help them with this then? versus stop just getting annoyed and frustrated that they don't. We've got to be very careful with how we see and view and build resilience in people. Now, if this is really hitting a nerve with you and you're like, oh my gosh, I am in this situation, but I don't know what to do and I don't know what's next for me, I'm just going to give you some questions here that you can reflect on. So the first one, is the goal you're trying to achieve attainable? A lot of excessive resilience comes in when you've set yourself something or you've set your standards too high and it's just not attainable and it is just costing you so much energy and effort. Is it time to let that go or set a goal that is actually a stretch for you but realistic? The next one is, what is really driving you to keep you going? A lot of the stuff that was driving me was this need to prove myself. And then I could see now that was an unhealthy drive versus, and what are you worried about? What are you worried about if you don't keep having that drive? And how can you turn that drive into a healthy drive? Number three is, are you more worried about what people will say versus what you really need? And that was a massive one for me. I was so worried about looking like a failure versus actually I needed to leave this company. I needed to recognize that my values weren't aligned. It wasn't who I was. It was just the wrong decision to go there. I definitely can see in interviews now, I ask a lot more questions, but I didn't prioritize what I needed as a person. I was more worried about what other people would think. Number four is, what is stopping you from taking the action right now? What's getting in the way? What's stopping you? And then what is going to be the cost if you keep going? And are you okay with that? If you're okay with this cost, fine. But what is going to be the cost to your health, to the relationships of those people around you, and actually to your professional career? Because it can really actually knock your confidence going into your next job with a massive impact. Who else is this affecting other than you? This was having a huge effect on my husband, seeing what I was going through. What could he do to try and help me? And then that was impacting our relationship. And then really ask yourself, what is the worst thing that can happen by prioritizing your own well-being? And actually, if you prioritize your own well-being, what opportunities may then open up for you that you're not seeing right now, but you will see when you walk away? This is what happened to me, is when I actually took the courage to leave and the courage to really acknowledge that this wasn't about keep pushing through, keep going, I'm resilient. This was about actually, I need to prioritize me. And when I did that, very quickly, an opportunity opened for me. And some people believe in fate, some people don't. But I was actually then on my computer and I was just sitting on Facebook and a Facebook ad popped up and it was, come and join our 3-day coaching training. And I was like, oh, okay. And I'd done some coaching training before I'd gone to the UK, but this carried on going to Melbourne because it was such a good opportunity. And I thought, do you know what? I'll go. But I was actually so broken in confidence at this point, I had to ask my husband to come with me. At this point, I was a bit of a wreck. And he came with me. And it's the best thing that ever happened. In that room, that's when I signed to join and commit to becoming a coach. Although at that time, I didn't know I was going to set up my own business. I just knew that this was something that I needed to help me, was going to help me build myself back up. But it's something that I knew I'd be able to use to help others. And then doing that training, building all this back up, understanding me more to the point where now I can unemotionally share this with you because I understand it now. I've reflected on it. I can see the decisions I made and why I made them. And now I've been able to use all this experience, everything I've been through, to help others. And that is what I am eternally grateful for. Now, what I want to share here is, please don't feel you need to go to the extreme of resilience to then be able to help others because you've been through it. That wasn't a requirement I had to do. It's obviously given me that knowledge, but if I could change time back, I would have left a lot sooner. And this is what I want to get the message across. Look after you. Resilience is, again, it's about the self-care, asking for help, having good exercises, having good routines, being able to maintain perspective of what's right for you. It's not keep going, pushing through. I've got to be the hero here. I've got to show I'm a survivor. That is not resilience. And please recognize this in yourself or recognize it in your team. If there's anyone in your team that you can see that maybe this is what they're doing, go and have a conversation with them. Go and get curious about where this may be coming from. So I hope this has been helpful. Please message me if this has resonated with you. And if you've got any questions, or especially if you're in this situation, please do reach out. And if it's not to me, reach out to someone who you know can help. You don't need to stay in it. Resilience is removing yourself from a situation that is unhealthy for you. Thank you for listening, and I look forward to seeing you in next week's episode. Take care. A huge thank you to you for listening to the Courageous Leaders Club. I'd love to know if anything from today's conversation resonated with you and what your key takeaway is. Will you do anything differently? Have you learned something you'll take forward in your own leadership? Do take a moment to connect with us on LinkedIn, where you can share your thoughts. You can connect personally with me at my email, joanna.hounds@thechangecreators.com. If you haven't subscribed yet, please do. This will really help us grow our podcast and reach and help as many people as possible. If you can think of someone who will benefit from listening to this podcast, please do share it with them. Finally, for those of you who are seeking to take action today, you can book a free strategy call with me, and together we can produce an action plan to implement into your leadership and business. You can head to the link in the show notes to book now. Thank you so much again for listening, and I'll meet again on the next episode of the Courageous Leaders Club.